100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Joe.
Ah, yes, it is. Well, no, not Thursday. It's Wednesday. I had to say that at first because we're at Vinny's, 3217 Ridge Lake Drive over in Metairie, normally here on a Thursday, but we'll be out at the Zurich Classic of New Orleans tomorrow and Friday. And Friday evening, we will be at Hooters for the Sports Hangover Draft Special. Looking forward to that 6 to 10 o'clock. Come on out and have fun with us. John Forcade, Robert Meacham, Marlon Favorite, the rest of the Sports Hangover crew, Brian, Jordan, myself, of course, will have a great on time. And, you know, John, you couldn't wait until Friday. You decided to stop on by today and have a little fun.
Oh, you ain't kidding about that. But what a good time to – it's a big week right now. Everybody is like – pins and needles, and you know, I'm riding around. I got the white Jeep. I got the ESP on it. Everybody's tooting on. Who the Saints going to pick?
Yeah, exactly. You know, we're going to talk
other than, hey, man, what's going on with your station? Yeah. Hitting the radio tower.
It's coming along. It's getting closer. Jordan is here today, so clearly we can't send you up on top of the tower.
The storm did not stop me from coming over.
There we go. Did
and
not
you know
stop
who's
here.
Very excited Look. That Jordan's here today?
Oh, Sarah.
Yeah. Sarah couldn't stop talking about me.
What
as
a
soon
difference
as I walk
she
in.
Makes to.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
you're not here, she's going crazy. Uh-huh. And now when you're here, she's like keeping her distance.
Yep.
Well, it's a cat and mouse
game. I tend
game.
To do
it's
that.
It's a cat and mouse game. You know how that works. Got plenty to get into coming up at 12:15. Stick around. Scott Shanley's going to join us, of course. Won the Super Bowl with the Saints. And does work with CST now and covers the Saints and LSU as well during the fall. We'll get his take, John, as to what the Saints can do. I think there's a lot of different avenues that they can do. And it's exciting from that aspect of it of what they can do. So we'll touch a little bit on that here as well. Coming up a little bit later on the show, we'll get your takes. Just kind of right now where you sort of see and sit a lot of moves being made in and around the NFL as well, trades, things of that nature. Can the Saints trade? We'll get into all of that and more. But we wanted to lead off with yesterday's news that was kind of big with today from Jacques Doucet. WAFB in Baton Rouge was at the press conference yesterday and has a pretty good relationship with new athletic director Scott Woodward. So who better to talk about the new LSU AD than Jacques? Jacques, thanks for joining us this afternoon, man. How are you?
Hey, Gus. Doing well. How about yourself?
Doing well, man. It's interesting. I saw on your Twitter profile you had a little package there that you had with the new AD, and you're like, man, I've interviewed you when you had different jobs in different places all over the country. So you've kind of known who Scott is for a while, haven't you?
Yeah, you know, LSU played their season opener in football at Washington in 2009. I made that trip, and while we were doing local stories, you know, it came up, hey, Scott Woodward, who worked at LSU, he's the new AD there, go interview him. And so we chatted with him then when he had just hired Steve Sarkisian as the head coach. And then, of course, Scott was at Texas A&M, and we talked to him in 2016 when LSU didn't know who their head football coach was going to be on Thanksgiving night. That was when the Tom Herman rumors were really going wild, and Ed Orgeron was the interim head coach. And then 2 days later, Ed Orgeron was the head coach on that Saturday. And then last year, you know, it was the Jimbo versus Ed O 7 overtime game where we interviewed him again. So,
right. Yeah,
kind of joked I'd been stalking him for a few years, and now he's got a purple and gold tie on that's not a Washington tie that he's returned home. So,
yeah, you know, and I think one of the things that was interesting when you take a look at last week and how wacky it was, it's crazy when you look at it from this perspective too, Jacques. You have Will Wade coming back. You have a situation where LSU athletically has had a pretty successful season. You actually brought that up with Scott here as well, yet there's a change in the department head there. With Joe Oliva, what do you think was the eventual, I wouldn't say downfall, but main reason you think that the move happened?
Yeah, you know, most of the sports at LSU are on pretty solid footing. Certainly football had their best year in a long time last year, winning the Fiesta Bowl and finishing sixth in the country, and they're set up for a big year this year with, you know, Joe Burrow back at quarterback. Excited about the year coming up. But I think there was a lot of, in the eyes of LSU fans, the public relations gaffes over the years. I don't want to pile on Joe Oliva. I think he did do some good things. That's always kind of the temptation when somebody's fired or leaves is to say that they did nothing right and they did everything wrong. I think he did some good things in terms of improving facilities. You know, a coach like Beth Torino would tell you that Joe Oliva changed her life in terms of hiring her and the salary she makes now and, you know, the life that her kids are going to live moving forward. But I just think he was not very personable. He was not very likable. You just would hear a lot of times that he was surly, lose temper easily. Those are kind of the things that that I think just kind of led to his downfall eventually. Whether you're doing well or not, too, after about 10 years, they get tired of looking at you. Whether you're Steve Spurrier or Les Miles or whoever, even if you're having success.
Right.
So, I think those things, kind of weighed. And you heard Gus a lot yesterday during that press conference. We need to all be pulling in the same direction. We need to be pulling in the same direction and working together. And you heard Virg Allsbury say we need to heal. So I think that there's been a feeling that with Joe Oliva in charge, not everyone was always on the same page. That there was some backstabbing and things that go along at a big time place like LSU. And hopefully they're trying to get away from that.
Hey, Jacques, John Forkett here. My question to you is this: is, you know, it was surprising that Joe Oliva retired or, you know, opened the door and kind of shoved out with a foot. But the big question is, was Scott Woodward already in the mix prior to him leaving, Joe leaving? Because everybody's asking me, like, hey, that's pretty quick to hire an AD the next day. This had to have been in the works prior to just one day. What's your take on that?
Well, John, first off, I wanted to, it was a pleasure to be on with you. I remember your Monday night game against the Philadelphia Eagles in the Dome in 1989 and those games you played with the Saints. So those were some great memories for me when you were kicking butt with the Saints there.
Well,
so,
I appreciate it. Did you bet heavy on that game?
I don't think I could bet at that time, but I remember all that, man. I remember the Buffalo Bills in the snow and Dalton Hilliard taking off and all that.
Yeah.
Those were some good memories.
Good,
but
good memories.
I think in this case, John, I think for once LSU had their man lined up before they moved their other man out. I think that this is really the most efficient and professional thing LSU has done in quite some time in terms of, you know, getting a guy that a lot of people feel like is one of the best athletic directors in the country and getting him to come home and then, okay, we've got the guy lined up, let's push this other guy out. It reminds me in 2015, if you remember, LSU drug Les Miles through the mud for 3 weeks and they decided to keep him. Georgia, on the other hand, said nothing about Mark Richt, fired him immediately, and then had Kirby Smart in place a couple of days later. I mean, for LSU to push out Joe Oliva and then have Scott Woodward lined up on the same day is something that they have not been able to pull off in the past, and people joke, well, the reason why is that Joe Oliva wasn't involved.
Well, one take is the fact that if you look at this, you know, Texas A&M, my book's probably got a lot more money to offer someone than LSU. For him to leave Texas A&M, it couldn't have been about the money. It had to be, I want to come home, I want to, you know, I'm an LSU guy, I'm a Louisiana guy. And because I really believe that it's not about the money. And you don't see that a lot with professional athletes or professional people in the athletic department. They normally go for the money. I think Scott said, I wanted to be here. I want to be close to home. I don't care what A&M can come to the table with.
Yeah, John, LSU had a lot of things in their corner in terms of sentimental. You know, Scott Woodward's parents are both still living. They're still here in Baton Rouge. They were at the press conference yesterday. I interviewed them after the press conference. They told me that no matter what, he would visit them whenever he could. He would visit at least once a month, no matter where he was living, you know, Seattle, College Station, whatever. You know, guy loves his parents. It's a South Louisiana thing. It's something that Ed Orgeron talked about yesterday. You know, we remember when Ed Orgeron broke down crying when he was introduced as the LSU head football coach full-time and talking about his parents. His dad especially. So, yeah, Scott Woodward went to LSU. He went to Catholic High here in Baton Rouge. He's got friends and That room was packed with people yesterday that are 100% on board with Scott Woodward and want him to be successful. And it really is. I don't want to, oversell this, but it really was a historic day for LSU in terms of the hire and moving forward.
As Jacques Doucet, WAFB, covers the Tigers, of course, and everything else in around that area. And down here as well, we always see him every now and then at Saints camp, as obviously the NFL draft is coming up here. Jacques, you know, one of the things that I guess stands out to me, too, as well is, and I mentioned it with the success there, and you mentioned it to him when you were speaking to him, taking it to the next level. What would be that next level? You've had some success with a lot of these teams. Obviously, championships is the easy sort of answer. Does it start with basketball, too? Do you get an inclination as to how that is going to be handled?
Well, I'm not criticizing him when I say this. I don't think he was being totally truthful when he was talking about Will Wade and saying, well, you guys probably know more about it than me. I don't know right. anything about it. I would have to think that he has already got a pretty good amount of information on Will Wade and where he wants to go. I mean, it seems as the days go by, the news is getting better and better for Will Wade in terms of, you know, him being in any kind of trouble. And I think that'll be reflected on for years to come in terms of did LSU do the right thing in suspending him for 40 days. Did he get bad advice from his lawyer? Should he have gone in immediately and spoke with LSU and then maybe he could have coached the team? I don't know. But, that's going to be a big thing he's going to have to deal with. A lot of people are immediately going to say, you know, Jimbo Fisher doesn't have a buyout over at A&M. That those are all struggles. Jimbo could come. You know, I think that that's all counterproductive and not good talk. LSU and Edo has done a good job. He's recruiting. He's got a good team coming back, so I think that's fine. I think women's basketball is obviously something that's going to have to be addressed. Nikki Fargus and her salary has been a bit of a lightning rod for years in terms of, you know, they haven't won an NCAA game in 5 years. They've missed the tournament altogether two out of the last 4 years. A lot of people unhappy with her. So those are just a few things. I mean, Dee Dee Bro's doing great with gymnastics, obviously. Beth Farina's doing great with softball. A lot of sports are doing fine, but there are some things to address.
Mm-hmm. Jacques, is there anything else that I guess that maybe your LSU fans can get an understanding and feel of what's coming and what's the difference? What's the Scott Woodward difference? I guess as opposed, is it literally just communication? Is it just being personable? Is it just being able to reach out to people like not only donors but the fans themselves? I mean, it's pretty obviously hiring, getting the right people involved, getting championships, things like that, but. What would you say for fans that maybe don't know him as well is going to be the biggest difference in a Scott Woodward, I guess, tenure?
Well, I noticed yesterday he's much more comfortable doing press conferences than Joe Oliva. Joe was never, to his credit, he was never a camera hound or wanting to get his face on TV. That just wasn't him. I mean, he had to kind of pull teeth to get him to get up and talk. And when he did talk, he wasn't great. I think Scott was pretty polished yesterday. I think he tackled issues that you normally don't hear. I mean, he basically came out and said that Louisiana needs to get on board with sports gaming and gambling, that people are going to Biloxi to gamble on sporting events, and we're missing out on a lot of money, and we need to embrace that. I don't think that's something you would have heard from Joe Oliva in the past. He dropped a lot of names while he was there. My good friend such and such. My good friend, James Carville's here. My good friend Dr. blah, blah, blah. I mean, there was a lot of that going on yesterday. I mean, you never heard that from Joe Oliva. I don't know if I've ever heard Joe get up and say, my good friend. That just, I can't remember it. So, Joe was an outsider. He came here from Duke. I was always perplexed by the hire, why a football power coming off a national championship hired the AD from Duke. It didn't make any sense then. So I think this obviously not only makes sense, but it's really as good as LSU could hope for. So there will be a day. I'll tell you this real quick, though. It's funny. Herb Vincent, who, some people thought would be a great AD here, told me the first time Joe Oliva was introduced was at an LSU spring football game, and I turned to him and told him, enjoy these cheers. They will never cheer for you this loud again. And that's the case with ADs. They're put in positions to be unpopular. They have to make decisions about raising tickets and stuff like that that not all fans like. So he'll have to do that along the way, and maybe he'll upset a few friends, but that's the job.
Jacques Doucet is the way to follow him over on Twitter, and, of course, you can check him out at WAFB, at Red Rock and Blue as well. Jacques, we're getting closer to that, so be sure to come on, man, and help promote that, and let's get some folks out there for some good cause to raise a little money for the men and women of our military here in the state of Louisiana.
Yes, sir. Check it out, redrockandblue.com. It's play softball, slow pitch softball. It's all there on our website. Be part of our tournament. So it's coming up, and I'll come on with you as we're getting close.
Yep. Thank you, man. Appreciate it, Jacques.
All right, Jacques. Thank you.
Okay, hey. John. Just
all right, but I love what he said. I hope they get gambling fees out. It'll save me some gas, man. Yeah, I'm driving two or three days a week over
but
there.
But that goes to show you, too. I know we've heard Matt say this a lot on our afternoon show. One of the positives that Scott Woodward brings is he has relationships with people in politics.
Mm,
he has relationships and people in the state of Louisiana, and we all know how Louisiana politics works. Having someone in charge of your athletic department that has, again, my good friend James Carville, I mean, you know what I'm saying? When you can say that, it probably helps you to get a few things and, more importantly, to get things moved. But that's the most interesting thing to me. We're going to talk about this at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take the break so we can get Scott on. But I want to ask you about that, the importance of an athletic director to a program, and not only with NCAA violations or just when you have success, but the importance of their role that they play, and in particular him coming out and saying, hey, look, people bet on sports. We need to understand that, how you can maybe capitalize on that. I mean, mm-hmm. Could you have sports books on campus at games? Is that all right? You know, I mean, I don't know. There's a lot we can kind of touch on, though, in that, because the vote did pass, by the way, yesterday, 3-1 to be moved to the Senate for full voting. So the committee approved it to go to voting, and that's where it's at. But my understanding, and again, we'll get into the bottom of the hour, you wouldn't be looking into this until January 2020.
Right.
You can actually do it in this state. But it is moving in that direction. John Forcade, Gus Cattingill, it is Wednesday, but we're at Vinny's because tomorrow will be at the Zurich. Friday will be at the Zurich, and Friday night at Hooters for our draft special, 6 to 10 o'clock. John will be with us as well for that. Come by, have a little lunch. It's not the steak special. We'll tell you what the special is, though, today. When we come back, Scott Shanley. We'll talk a little Saints draft with the Super Bowl champ. So you can't ever lose that, right? I mean,
once you win a Super Bowl, eh? Can't take that away from you.
All right, we'll be back. It's Hour 1, where it's brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Hi, I'm Jason Giles with the King Firm.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 909-KING.
Ooh-wee, the flowers are blooming and people are going outside. And at Barker Kia, we're saving you money during the Spring Fest Sales Event. The perfect time to get into a new Kia from Barker Kia. How about drive home in a new 2019 Sportage and take $4,500 off the MSRP? Or jump into a new 2019 Kia Soul and take $4,000 off the MSRP? Hey, you want a little bit more? Right now, you can take off $5,000 off the MSRP when you choose a new 2019 Kia Sorento EX V6 with third row seating, Apple CarPlay, and leather seats. Now, that's how we roll during the Spring Fest at Barker Kia, with $4,500 off new Kia Sportages, $4,000 off new Kia Souls, and how about $5,500 off new Kia Sorento? So come save during the Spring Fest sales event only at Barker Kia in Houma, or shop online at BarkerKia.com. Come see me, people, and remember that strength and laughter.
19KT 036, MSRP 20, 2000, daily discount, 2000, customer care. Stand number 19KT 032, MSRP 20, 2000, daily discount, 2000, customer care. 19KT 06, MSRP 3744, 1500, daily discount, 3000, customer care. 1000, bonus case. With CPM analysis, dealer for details. Offer ends April 30, 2019.
Listen up. Do you have an old mobile home? Get $10,000 for it in trade equity. Trade it. Remove it. Replace it. HOMA's best program. Call 985-872-2850 if that old trailer house has got to go. Only at HOMA's Clayton Homes. Remember, HOMA's best trade-in program. Call now, 985-872-2850, or check them out on Facebook. So get rid of that old mobile home and get $10,000 for it. HOMA's Clayton Homes.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, finances, and insurance? Let State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and Cutoff help you to simplify and get to a better state. Because with Ashley Barrios handling your home, auto, and life insurance, you'll have more time for everything else. More money, too. Because adding State Farm policies could mean earning discounts worth up to 40%. Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios today and get to a better state with State Farm.
Accidents and injuries can put your life on the sideline.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 909-KING.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Welcome back to Scott, to the Sports Hangover. Scott Shanley joins us now here as we're live at Vinny's. At Scott Shanley's the way to follow over on Twitter. Scott, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing good. Appreciate you having me on.
For sure, man. It's draft week, and obviously there's a lot of excitement in and around the NFL. Fan bases, the works. And when it comes to Saints fans, everyone's got to general manager what they should do, who they should pick, and how they should go. Let's start with this. What do you recall from the draft back when you were coming out of school?
Well, obviously it was still a hyped event, but not what it is now. And I knew I was going to be a day two pick. I just remember the most frustrating part of the draft for players, and I tell guys this that I work with now previous to the draft, is when you see guys start to go ahead of you that you feel like you're better than, whether you played in all-star games with them or you just watched them play over the course of the year. But all it takes is one team to fall in love with players, and you just hope that one team falls in love with you and has a need for your position early on in the draft. But, you know, when you start thinking about it, seven rounds and one position or your position, there's not a whole lot of guys that end up getting drafted when it's all said and done. So it's an honor to be drafted, really.
You know, Scott, is it? You talked about the difference, obviously, when you came out of Nebraska to now. And what's nuts to me is it always happens every year. And John Forkay is sitting with us, and he'll have some questions for you here in a second, too, as well. But, John, you see this, too, and Scott. It's, you know, the media, right, overanalyze everything. You almost forget what your eyes show you, if a guy can play or not, or you know, remember last year with Baker Mayfield? I remember you came on and talked about, said, this guy's all about football. He's a good kid. I'm like, I'm with you. I'd love him to be with the Saints. Because you just look at it. The guy was a winner. But, man, you get into body language and you get into his pro day. And if somebody drops the ball, his hand size and stuff. Scott, at the end of the day, tapes don't lie. And I guess it just always trips me up how people overanalyze everything but the game film.
Yeah, and I think it's hard because every year in college you get, you know, going back just 10, 15 years, I can think of guys who maybe were Buckets Award winners as a linebacker or won awards and never did anything in the NFL. And so you really have to start to dig deep and look at guys. You look at the competition, the conferences they're playing in. You look at the scheme, the offensive and defensive scheme they're playing in. Is it being advantageous to their skill set or covering up deficiencies? Those are the things you have to dig deep. And a lot of times I think with the draft, people want to find those diamonds in the rough. You see a lot of times the small school guys, some of the guys go higher than you think. But a lot of those guys, you have to put the hours into studying their tape. And like I said, the variables are the competition they're playing, the schemes they're running. Those are the things that you have to try to turn into a scientific breakdown to avoid drafting or having busts in your draft pick. But I agree. At some point, you have to look at a guy. And to me, one of the biggest telling signs is not being one-year wonder. Did a guy do it consistently over his career, and do you know what type of player you're getting both on and off the field?
You know, along those lines, and John, I know you want to get into, but we just talk about, like, players, too. I'm petrified because while it's not a high pick for the Saints, you're sitting there and you look at Tampa right there. Devin White seems a natural fit for that spot. And I saw Brian Baldinger yesterday put some video why he called him an Avenger, a superhero type stuff. And you played linebacker, man. When you look at Devin White from LSU, the last thing I want to see him is in the NFC South.
Yeah, it seems like Tampa Bay loads up, or the NFC South really loads up on those LSU players. You have Deion Jones in Atlanta who seems to make big plays all the time. And Devin's definitely one of those players who is going to be a cornerstone player for whoever takes him. And I hope he goes as early as possible, but hopefully not to Tampa Bay. I agree, because he's one of those guys who intellectually can get guys lined up. He can audible to put you in the best defense you can be in. And we had a guy like Jonathan Vilma who could do that, who could be a coach on the field. And once a coach has a middle linebacker who can be an extension of them on the field and trust them to audible the defense, it's a huge advantage. I don't see near enough teams with middle linebackers who have that capability, but that's the intellectual part of Devin White. And then you look at the athletic skills, sideline to sideline, three-down linebacker. He's going to be in the NFL for a long time as long as he stays healthy.
Hey, Scott, John Forkett here. You hit the nail on the head. When you talk about you know, your linebackers are on defense. And let's be honest, they're your quarterbacks on offense. I mean, you guys, you know, you're a former linebacker. I'm a former quarterback. When you step on that field, you're the quarterback. You're calling the plays. You're making the adjustments. You're doing the right things to set your defense up. I don't see a lot of people nowadays on the defensive side of football that look at the middle linebacker as much as they look at, oh, you got the edge rusher slash linebacker, you know, Clay Matthews type guy. You look at that, you know, Von Miller type guy. Whereas in the college ranks, you very seldom see, I want to say, not a one and done, but look at what college football has come. Like the last couple of seasons, you've had a quarterback, Murray, 1 year, now he goes to the NFL. Haskins in Ohio State, 1 year, goes to the NFL. You don't see that with linebackers. They're 2 or 3 years before they get that opportunity in the NFL. But when they do step into the NFL, they are your quarterbacks on the defensive side of football.
Absolutely. You need that in the NFL. And I agree with you. The one thing that drives me crazy about college football, and even the NFL, I'm starting to see it, is the lack of audibling on defense. The lack of trusting players to put you in the best possible scenario against the offensive set that you're seeing. College football, these defenses let the offense get the last word in on every single play. They line up in cover two, and the offense looks to the sideline, and they check a cover two beater. And the defense just sits there and lets the offense dictate. You need a linebacker or whoever it is on defense that can look at an offensive set and say, hey, we're checking cover three. Hey, we're checking cover two. Put yourself in the best defense to face the offensive set that came out. That's one thing that Greg Williams, from 09 to 11, he told us, as long as Jonathan Vilma is out on the field, if he checks something, we all play it. No matter if he's right or wrong or indifferent, if he says something, we all do it and we trust him. And that was a huge advantage for us defensively. If you can get a guy like that who can do that, it's a huge advantage. But more so, you have to have a defensive coordinator and coaches trust guys to right. do that and to make those calls.
Speaking with Super Bowl champion Scott Shanley. Scott Shanley is a way to follow him over on Twitter. Of course, we see him do work on CST throughout the fall as well, not only with the Saints, but also with LSU as well and college football. Scott, let's move on to the black and gold. What your thoughts, man, on the offseason? I think when you look at the free agency moves that they made, they addressed the needs. They addressed what I guess many of us would say, hey, you kind of need to help a little in the areas here. I dare say I think they got deeper in the D-line. Jared Cook was a solid pickup. Latavius Murray, I think, is a nice back. I like his size. I think the Saints did very well. And, look, in all shapes and forms, you look at it, Scott, in free agency, you lose some and you get some. And losing Mark Ingram and losing Alex Okafor, they're losses, no doubt. But I think the Saints are in a good spot heading into the draft.
I agree. And when you look at the draft, obviously this year, they're going to have to play around with the draft and to maybe gain more picks. But at this point, this team is just trying to build depth. They are pretty solid and stacked at a lot of positions. They're not looking to draft a whole lot of guys to start, but looking for depth, which you need in the NFL. And when you look at free agency, I think losing Unger was huge. Losing Mark was big.
Right.
Just in the locker room and what he could do during a game. But I think those two losses are offset with the signing of Jared Cook. The Jared Cook signing is a great fit as far as this offense, getting a speedy, more vertical tight end, which you saw when Jimmy Graham played. Drew throws to the tight end as good as any quarterback in the NFL, especially those seam routes. So I love the acquisition of Jared Cook, and it kind of offsets those other losses. But when you look at where this team's been the past couple of years, what they lost and what they gained in free agency, and then obviously just trying to build more depth in the draft, this team's still set up to make a run at it, for sure.
Well, Scott, my take on it is just what you hit the nail on the head. You got a good tight end now. You don't have to go in the draft and try to get a tight end. Now you want to look at the draft. Is it by needs of what they need player-wise, or is the best available player when you come to the second round? I can't see them moving up in the first round. I don't think they have enough to give up to go into the first round. I think there's a lot of quality football players on the board this year that you sit in the second round, you're still going to get a good player. My question to you is, what player should they go after in the second round? Is it the best quality player available, or is it for needs?
I think this team is set up to draft the best quality player. I really do. I don't think there's a position where I look on paper and I say, man, the Saints have to draft this position, and this kid has to be ready to play right away. They have good veteran players at every position, and at this point, it's good to be in the catbird seat of just saying, we're going to take the best available player and build this team with depth. If there's a position group think could use some more depth. I think it's the offensive line. Obviously, losing Unger. You have Pete coming up on a contract here. You have Armstead, who's been banged up a lot. That offensive line needs a little more depth in it for the long haul.
Scott, I mean, that's literally what I've said this week. To me, it's I'm with you. BPA, best player available at 62. And then on that whiteboard that Sean has in there with the rest of his staff, you know, when they on the clock, I look to see who is the top offensive lineman there, left tackle, left guard, because of what you just said. And to me, if you're in the ballpark of 3 to 5 points, I might pull that trigger because of that. Because, Scott, you and I talked about towards the end of last year, it's easy to say, hey, no one else is helping Michael Thomas. The run game's not going well. And I'm like, guys, look at the O-line. That game against the Rams in a regular season, NFL Live did a little video clip. Drew Brees had 2.9 seconds to throw the football. That's almost a full 3 seconds. John is like, that's an eternity to a guy of that quality. And then towards the postseason, Drew was down to 1.7, 1.9. That's a massive difference. That O-line is very, very key. Doesn't matter if you got Kamara and Thomas and all those guys or Cook. If Drew's getting hit or he's not being able to make the reads, it affects the offense. That's what we saw last year, right?
You're exactly right. And it's not an attractive pick. Every year you get draft parties, you get people watching drafts, and when someone's seen drafts a lineman, everybody kind of groans like, oh, let's go Google this guy and see what he did. But you look at the way the Saints played the last couple of years, the offensive line, when they played well, has been good. And when they've been healthy, when that offensive line has been healthy, the Saints have been one of the best teams in the NFL. It's when they started getting nicked up. Go back a couple of years ago to when Dak Prescott was a rookie and the Cowboys had that that offensive line. It makes a huge difference. And I think the Cowboys, actually, a couple years ago when they had that O-line and they were plugging in rookies at quarterback and running back, it made a lot of people around the league say, hey, you know what? Maybe we need to follow this same formula. So you can never underappreciate what those guys do in the trenches, because that's where it all starts and ends in the NFL. All these other pieces around are great, get 4-3 wide receivers, this and that, but it doesn't matter if you don't have those guys in the trenches to give you time to throw.
And, Scott, also, when you look at the O-line compared to, let's just say, the rest of the team except for quarterback, you're playing 3 running backs sometimes every game, 4 or 5 different linebackers, 6-7 defensive linemen, 5 to 8 defensive backs. So you get a lot of guys reps. Your O-line, basically, the 5 guys go out there, you very seldom in a football game will see backup linemen playing on the offensive line. And now when you get a guy hurt, you got to put a new guy in there who basically sat around for 3 quarters, and now he's got to go in and play. So you want to make sure you always have good backup linemen that can start for you. I'm not saying, oh, we just got to have a lineman to have a lineman. You want to have a quality lineman. When you lose a Max Unger in a game for a concussion, your next week you better have a good quality center/guard who can move over. So I'm all for having good quality linemen. I play quarterback. I know if you don't have linemen, you can't throw the football.
That's exactly right. And the one thing you hit it on the head there is you need versatility in linemen who are backups. I mean, when you go and you have a roster of 53 and you can only keep 6 linemen, maybe 7, that 6th or 7th lineman, they have to get the majority of their reps on scout team. They have to be able to play center and guard or play guard and tackle, and they have to be versatile because those guys aren't running down on kickoff and playing all the special teams like the 6th or 7th linebacker who make the team do. So those guys are hard to find, those versatile backup linemen, and that's a lot of what the NFL teams are looking for now. And like I said, they get a lot of their reps throughout the week on scout team, but those reps have to count come game day because you never know when you're going to have to go in.
Scott, appreciate the time. Final question for you, man. I know you took a peek at the schedule. I am not of the school of I need win losses in April. You know, I wait to see the after camp comes, but you can make some observations, obviously. You see 3 sets of back-to-backs. It's interesting that the team ends on the road with 2 on the road, but also you got 2 pieces that really stand out to me, and it's in the quarters. The first quarter of the season, pretty difficult with back-to-back road games, L.A. and Seattle. And in that third quarter of the season, it's the battle for the NFC South. Falcons, Bucks, Panthers, Falcons, all in a row. That's what stands out to me. What stands out to you when you saw the schedule?
Well, what jumped off the schedule right away to me was how the NFL has stacked this early 7 weeks or 8 weeks of the schedule against the Saints. It's almost as if, hey, you complained about this non-call. We're going to try to bury you early because this schedule is pretty brutal. I mean, at Chicago, you have Dallas, Seattle, the Rams. If this team can get through the early 6-7 weeks and come out maybe 6-2, 7-1 in those first 8 games, it's going to be sitting pretty because I don't think the back end of the schedule is nearly as loaded. I think the NFC South is still a good division. But to me, Tampa will be improved. Carolina just does not match up well with the Saints. I don't see either one of those two teams being a problem. I think Atlanta will be a little bit better. It's really going to come down to those early games, like I said, Seattle, Rams, Dallas, Chicago, all playoff-caliber teams. You go to Jacksonville. You have to have a fast start in the schedule. But the back end of the schedule looks pretty reasonable compared to that start.
Good stuff as always, man. Appreciate your time this afternoon as we head into the draft. At Scott Shanley, the way to follow on Twitter. Johnny has 39,700 followers. Let's get him to 40,000.
You gotta get
40,000, Scott. Let's hit it,
there
buddy.
There you go. Absolutely. Thanks, guys, for having me on.
All right, Scott,
sure.
Thank you.
At Cox Sports TV is way to follow them. He's
I like him. His defensive, I like his mindset. Defensive guy said, hey, man, you offensive lineman. But I love when he said the best available player.
Absolutely. I think that's where the Saints
are. When you're in the second round, you really don't go for I need this player because of this position. Mm-hmm. First round, you can do it because they're all studs in the first round that you hope of. But you start going to second round, 62nd pick, you're thinking, man, all the great top 50 players might be gone. I need depth at this position, and the best quality player can go there.
I promoted it. I was going to ask you this on Friday, but since you're here today, I'll ask you when we come back from break, too. The executive director of the Senior Bowl, I'll play that bite when we come out of the break. He says four quarterbacks going to go in the top 50. I'm going to play that bite first, and then I'm going to ask you about one in particular that you like, because I do think the Saints will have a trade this draft. I think it's to get into the third or fourth to move up into second. I'm with you. I don't see them trading into the first, but I would be shocked if the Saints don't make a trade. I can't think of a draft in which they haven't made some sort of, you know, when I say trade,
I can see two in the second.
Something.
I can see two picks in the second round.
Or the third. You know what? Yeah. Take my five, my two sixes, my two sevens. I got stuff to do.
Right.
Let me get my stuff in.
Teeing off Saturday morning, so
second
let's get it
second and third round, and then I'm done. Because I could see that happening. Let's talk a little bit about that when we come back. We're live at Vinny's. Now, I know we're normally here on Thursday. We're going to be at the Zurich tomorrow. So we're here on Wednesday, 3217 Ridge Lake Drive in Metairie. The lovely Sarah will tell us what our specials are today, as she will torment Jordan the intern when we come back. It's the Sports Hangover at ESPN New Orleans.
Medications can be scary sometimes, but necessary for our health and well-being. Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy's staff are trained in finding you the lowest cost available on your medications. Stop by with your prescriptions or medicine bottles and let one of us review your options. Patients who take their medications as prescribed have better health outcomes. Stop by one of our pharmacies today, located in Rouse's Supermarket on Highway 3235 in La Rose, or at Lady of the Sea Medical Clinic in Cutoff. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Every favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town. And we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridge Lake Drive in Metairie.
Hi, I'm Lindy LaRue with Donlin Construction. Are you thinking about starting a new project? Well, if you have an idea, we'll make it happen. Donlin Construction, a state licensed contractor, offers many services from site work, concrete paving and foundations, to customized office buildings and warehouses. Whatever service you require, Donlin Construction will make it happen. Just call 985-798-7788. Donlin Construction.
Is the car you're driving 2012 or newer? If so, here's something you need to know. Today's newer engines run hotter, making them more vulnerable to carbon buildup, which could affect engine performance. Protect your engine with new Valvoline Modern Engine Full Synthetic, specially formulated to protect cars built 2012 or newer from carbon buildup. Learn more at modernoil.com. Valvoline, since 1866. Visit AutoZone now. Buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Modern Engine Full Synthetic and an oil filter for $33.99. See store for restrictions and details.
Want to know my secret to make a great-looking lawn last even longer?
All it takes is a second feeding of Scott's Turf Builder Lawn Food. With a simple second feeding, your lush lawn is here to stay. Because a second feeding of Scott's reinvigorates lawns by providing nutrients, which helps prevent browning and withering as the weather warms.
My green grass isn't going anywhere.
This is a Scott's Yard. Pick up Scott's Turf Builder Lawn Food today.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Wow. I don't even know what to say right now, Joey, as Jordan the intern greeted Sarah with the double one finger salute here. I don't even really know what to say, Sarah.
Each other here.
I mean that is so disrespectful.
I think Jordan's just mad that he had to come here today.
Yeah, apparently.
Can't play the fake the storm thing.
I can't say it's storming outside.
As we're live back at Vinny's, have you ever been greeted that way with the double bird salute?
Only with Jordan.
Well, he was actually saying you're number one twice.
Lies.
I really don't know how. John, you've been around for a while. We've been in the game.
Yeah, right. I've been around for a while.
Twice. I mean,
you've been married twice?
Yeah,
twice.
I'm gonna take,
and how old are you?
I'm gonna take two, but my point is I can't ever recall that working. Hey, how's it going? Whoosh, with the two double fingers there.
I think he should be fired.
I don't think that really works.
I'm as bad as I have arthritis in my fingers when people, you know, I salute them, like, hey, right. They understand.
I just, has that move ever worked for you to get even a phone number?
Yeah, no, I don't think that.
He failed on Valentine's Day.
Oh. That's right.
Now he's failing just on everyday life.
I don't think Jordan will be here next week.
Hashtag never forget.
February
14, 2019, where Sarah basically said.
Well, Mother's Day's coming up.
John, I offered to pay. It was a free dinner.
Offered to pay.
Sarah was like, let's do it.
You offered to pay?
Yes.
Offered to pay.
It was on me.
Oh.
And Jordan said, deuces, no.
And then we made fun of him on Twitter and on the show for like a good couple weeks. And still now.
Jordan.
So he's, like I said.
With a lady saying, I will go with you.
People
Let's
called
go.
Him dumb on Twitter. Yeah. Like,
wow.
He got made fun of. They still come in here to make fun of you.
Sarah, we're normally here on a Thursday.
Yeah,
we're going to be
Wednesday.
At the Zero Classic tomorrow. It's Wednesday, so I don't know what the specials are today.
It's your ribs today. You get a half rack of ribs with a side salad and french fries for
$12. $12 seems to be the magic number because the same price for the steak special, which is the 2-pound baked potato, side salad for $12. I can get
2-pound
ribs.
Baked potato?
Yeah, that's a meal in itself, dude.
2-pound baked potato.
It's like a massive baked potato.
Yeah.
Wow.
There you go.
How big's the steak?
8 ounces.
8 ounces?
No. Well, it's doing its thing.
The potato overtakes
that.
It's
a nice lunch. Look, you go anywhere now, Wendy's or something like that, $12? I mean, you upsize.
Well, you go to Wendy's for $12, you can walk out of there with a lot, and that's not good for you. You come here for $12,
you get a
good meal.
What I'm saying is nowadays, really, like, I do Chick-fil-A or something like that for Jordan, like my wife will get it. It's $23.
No way. I spent $12 today at Chick-fil-A, and I got two meals out of that.
Yeah,
do you? Well, what are you getting?
Buy the dollar meal.
You're getting the meal?
Okay, chicken biscuit. If you get the two meals.
I got the meal, too, though. I'm telling you, full-on meal.
Well, the meals that I get are 8 apiece.
I don't know where
you're
shopping at.
I got to go.
There he goes. The bell has been rung. So the special today is the barbecue rib special all day.
Half a rack.
$12. You get a side salad to go with it and some fries.
Some fries. I had some ribs the other day, man. I started, in all honesty.
You like them wet or dry?
Maybe backs.
You get a good rub.
If you get a good rub, I can go with that. Mm-hmm. But let me just say this much. I haven't had fried food in almost a week.
Wow.
I was hitting McDonald's. I had to go back on, the doctors tell me I had to, cholesterol is too high, LDL was too low.
Stinks getting old,
a lot of stuff. Yeah, but not just that, health reasons.
Well, no, I know.
You got to go get your checkup and everything. I had blood work done because my hands were always swelling up.
Dude, I'm 43. If I don't eat right on, like, the weekends, I tend to, like, whatever.
I've been eating great
on Monday.
I had salmon, what's today? Wednesday. Yeah. Monday night, salmon.
Yeah.
With the great broccoli. I mean, asparagus. Yeah. Last night was grilled chicken with broccoli. So I'm eating better in the evening. But in the daytime, I drink my meal shakes. I mean, my meal replacement.
Right.
I just tell people, get checked up and eat properly. I know all the food we talked about, I'm all for that. Fat boys, the big pizzas, coming here and getting the food here. I got to be real careful. Everybody out there, health-wise, you hit McDonald's.
Yeah.
I know why you go. You got your son. It's easy.
Right.
It's convenient.
He likes the fries
right.
and stuff.
Oh, I love McDonald's fries.
Yeah, you can't beat them. But, then you got Jordan. 20 years old, can do whatever he wants.
And you offer to pay for his meal for Valentine's Day. I'd have sucked it up. You know what you should have done?
There's a steak place across the street.
You could have went to Desi Steakhouse and give him the bill.
Yep.
This way.
And I gave him no stipulation, by the way.
Wow.
I said it was on me. Whatever you wanted to.
Dude, I've been in some situations where I had dinner.
Yeah.
You know, but I was worried about the dinner.
Yeah.
Hey.
Like I said.
The company can come later. Don't worry about eat the dinner.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
You
enjoy
the
meal.
A free meal.
A good meal out of it. And then, you know, then you shake hands and go your own merry way.
What was your excuse, by the way?
You were sick?
I just kind of wanted to lay down.
He was tired.
He was tired. He knew that the day before he was going to be tired the next day.
Exactly right.
I wanted to touch on, again, we spoke with Jacques Doucet of Scott Woodward's hire. He had that press conference yesterday. I thought it was interesting that he mentioned the thing that stood out, again, was mentioning, you know, with the sports gambling and things of that nature.
I was surprised he said
needing to heal everybody needs to get together,
right,
be on the same page. Look, you have close ties with Ole Miss, and they've gone through a lot of change up and down the last couple years.
When you brought that up to me before the break, saying about the AD, we're having problems at Ole Miss right now. We're looking for a new chancellor, and the people want the AD fired because so many things changed over the last couple of years at Ole Miss. Don't play Dixie. Can't have the flag. Change the mascot. Well, a lot of that's got to do with the AD getting into the chancellor's ear. So the chancellor's out of there, who's the president of the year, and they're in the process of finding a new president.
What do you think is the number one job for an athletic director?
One, it's obviously keeping your sports program. The ones who the football, basketball, baseball, you got to keep those bringing in the money. You know, you got to keep those. Obviously – you know, people. What about the women's? Well, they're helpful. They're in there too. You got to take care of the top tier before you work your way down.
That's interesting. You said that. I'm going to play. This was the package that I was referring to when Jacques came on, that they had, and I thought it was interesting in it because Jean, he talked to Scott Woodward about that. And look, I get it. You know, you have a bunch of different sports, and I know there's a lot of attention, obviously, to. What it should do with women's basketball hasn't maybe been as successful as it has been. What do you do with Nikki?
Jacques made a comment about
all
that.
All those different things. Gymnastics is the place that sells out the PMAC. Speaking of the PMAC, because I asked him what is the number one thing. Is it Will Wade? I tell you what, Scott Woodward's legacy, right? Look, O's trying to turn football is what it is. I mean, Jordan can make decisions there. If you win a certain amount, it's time to go, right? I mean, you know that. Getting a new basketball facility. That's going to be his number one priority to try to get. And the reason why I said it is, you know this, I've talked to you about it already, as you know with the Ole Miss one that came on board just, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, tops. Ooh. It looks like Conseco Fieldhouse for the Indiana Pacers.
It's very nice.
I mean, the old one was the old school, just around, old. You know, building
Smith,
that was there forever.
It was horrible.
It's state-of-the-art, looks like an NBA arena. And like I said, look, I just go there once or twice a year because of the games that I call that happen to be there. And I'm not being ugly. It's almost a dump. I mean, it's old. It's not, you know, when you look at Houston's renovations, and I talked about it when I went this year to the new place. I mean, it's the same footprint, different exterior, and it's configured differently, right, John? You have the first 20 rows on the side where the team benches are. They're leather seats. They're chair backs.
Yeah, okay? they're money people.
Backs, right, they're chair backs. Above that, they have two sections, and I'll show you the pictures, that it's press box row style seating.
Wow.
It's, you know, a long table that goes the width of the court with nice chairs that look like office chairs.
Okay.
And you have outlets. You know,
on
where you sit so you can plug your phone in and stuff. And you got like little iPads that have stats or whatever you can order for whatever. Behind that.
That's a university, Houston?
Yes. Behind that, they have basically 5 to 6 living rooms. And I call it that. They're recliners. There's on either side of a sofa with a flat screen TV on a piece of furniture. Okay, that's yours. It's almost like a mini suite, but it's an area.
Gotcha.
But it's not a suite. You're outside. You're in the stands. So instead of having 40 rows or 35 rows to the floor where it used to be where the concession is, you know, at an angle, it was the old school thing. It's 3 different sections, 3 different pricing, mm-hmm. right, that you can do, 3 different ways to view it. And then you do have 4 or 5 suites above that on a second level.
Wow, I gotta see this place.
They took 10 to 15 rows on the opposite side, removed the seats, put benches and cleared it, and that's the student section. They put a wall above it, and that's where the next row of seats are.
Gotcha.
So if you sit in that seat, you're not encumbered on your view. The students are below you.
Gotcha.
But that's now your student section on the crowd right around there. It's just, it's envisioning
those things. It is. The word envision.
Exactly. You can still use the same footprint that the PMAC is there, but it needs to be configured differently. You can get more money with different style of seating, different amenities. It needs to be a nice little area that make it.
Now, the question is, should they renovate PMAC or start from scratch?
Well, again, either way, that footprint, do you want to do it? Well, where do they play?
Start from scratch.
Right.
A lot more of this, cash.
Right. A lot more jack,
restructure.
Right.
PMAC.
Right.
Not quite as much
Houston
money.
Houston basically did that, right? They tacked stuff all on the outside.
Okay.
And on the inside, they gutted it. So
gotcha.
You can do that, again, just by removing seats, doing that, and upgrading it. And, again, your bathrooms, man, are right by the door outside, and it's like it's literally a urinal in a stall for the men. I mean, it's
well, you know, I mean, the basketball program, it's going to get better. We know
right.
that. The football, you know, they redid a stadium to add more stadium right. seats. It's up to 90-something, to almost
right.
100.
Right, it's 100,000,
right. It's 100. Now, the basketball facilities, that's definitely new. Baseball's got there.
Right.
Basketball hasn't been there in 30 years.
So I definitely think that is going to be a key moving forward. Hour one's brought to you by the King Firm. They'll play the game of claims with insurance companies. We're live at Vinny's. Gus Cattingill, John Forcade, the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Spring sales event going on now at Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat and Homa. Come in and test drive the 2019 Ram 1500 Tradesman Quad 4x2 with $11,000 off MSRP. Ram has the highest owner loyalty of any half-ton truck. So if Ram trucks are designed to deliver the total package, what are you waiting for? Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. WAC excludes TTNL. CCAP bonus must finance with Chrysler Financial. Non-prime must have Beacon score of 620 or less. LD truck owner loyalty must own an LD pickup.
Fleet Supply Warehouse has been providing the highest quality name brand batteries from AC Delco. Batteries for marine, car, truck, SUV, RV, ATV, motorcycle, golf cart, and dry cell batteries. They have Baldwin filters and more. Fleet Supply has your belt supply needs, including automotive, lawn equipment, agriculture, marine, and industrial. They have one of the largest belt selections and inventory in South Louisiana, located on Venture Boulevard in Houma, or call 985-868-0430 or check them out on Facebook.
Hello, it's me, the designer jeans in your closet. The back of your closet. What am I doing here? Would you keep caviar in the back of your fridge with the ketchup and old milk? Yeah, I don't think so. So what happened to us? I mean, have you seen my label? I used to summer in the Hamptons and now I'm stuck behind a pair of sweats. Sure, I never really fit you quite right, and one of my pockets is so small you can't even squeeze your hand into it. But it's all about the look, and I look good. I need to get back out on the scene, so I can be seen. You know, going to fancy parties, getting expensive iced coffees, Sunday fun days, okay? So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create new jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
El Paso Mexican Restaurant in Raceland is well known for their authentic Mexican food. Come and enjoy their delicious lunch specials and happy hour from 3 till 7 with $2 ice cold beer and 2-for-1 margaritas. Cinco de Mayo celebration is the best party on the bayou. El Paso Mexican Restaurant in Raceland will be featuring a live mariachi band for 3 days from May 3rd to May 5th. Don't miss the $2 cold beer and 2-for-1 margaritas from open to close all 3 days at El Paso Mexican Restaurant on Highway 1 in Raceland.
Megan here with Vision Communications. Have you checked out Vision's Lightwave TV yet? With Lightwave TV, you get a more modern interactive program guide, better search features, true multi-room DVR, access to new channels, and so much more. Upgrade to Lightwave TV today and pay only $65 a month. That's only $65 a month and includes 2 set-top boxes and DVR service. Call today for offer details and to learn more about Lightwave TV. A better way to watch. From Vision Communications, bringing you a better vision.
Want more from your bank? Open a Cajun Pride checking account at State Bank and Trust Company and enjoy the benefits. Unlimited check writing, overdraft protection, online banking, mobile banking, debit card, ID theft assistance, safe deposit box discounts, prescription drug discounts, shopping, travel, entertainment discounts, and much more. Call or come in for more information about applicable fees and terms. State Bank and Trust Company. Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. State Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Ah, yes, head coach Sean Payton yesterday. Are you a little jealous, John, watching Coach Payton swing the golf club over at the Pro-Am?
I try not to watch those people who play golf. Or
it's got to kill stuff. You. You loved golf, man.
I do.
You did play. You're
3 years
really
now. Three years not playing golf.
But Sean Payton had this to say yesterday on the depth of the draft in pick 62. And I thought, for the most part, when you look at it, he kind of touched on really what we have been saying, that, you know what, not that you won't move at one, you just, you know what I'm saying, John? There's a lot of depth there. Let's just see what happens.
Yeah, I think when you get 62 players out, a lot can happen, but there's going to be a good football player, hopefully someone that we feel like can help us, you know, sooner than later.
And I guess that's where it's at, too, when you're looking at getting the picks and what do you need to get from these guys, you know, at 62 here as well, because you heard Scott mention it as well. Where you look at last year's draft, how many guys made the team?
Right.
You know? And when you look at this year's team, I mean, again, if you're going by the, you know, notion that they were a call away from the Super Bowl, your only losses, and I don't mean only, mean like in a negative way, but you lost running back Mark Ingram. You addressed that, and let's see what Latavius Murray can do. You lost Max Unger. You signed, you know, Nick Easton to a pretty big deal from Minnesota in hopes that he can be an offensive lineman for you, right? Starting center, or, you know, if it's Tom and you move him, I don't know, whatever. And you lost Alex Okafor. Look, congrats on him on getting that deal and everything, but you did draft last year and made the move using this year's first round pick to go get Marcus Davenport. So, right. You know, that guy is your starter. I mean, that's what you went and go do last year.
Well, basically,
so.
When you went and moved up and traded your first round pick this season for Marcus Davenport last year, you're basically saying he's our 2-year guy. You know, last year and this year, Marcus, you pretty much cost us the pick. So you're the guy we're hoping to start as the defensive end and be somebody. With that being said, you only got a second round pick. We talked about this off the air about them possibly getting some more picks to move maybe up in the second round again. They have two picks in the second round, maybe something in the third, and get rid of whatever else you got left. If they do that, then it just tells me that they're satisfied with the depth on the depth chart that they see on the board for this year's draft. But Davenport is basically a number one pick from last year and this year, and he's got to come out and play. There's no rotating Davenport. You better have Cam Jordan on one end and Marcus Davenport play, you know, 80% of a football game on the other side.
Yeah, no doubt. Here's something else to point out, too. And again, it's funny. He keeps, especially with Frank Clark's deal yesterday, Cameron Jordan. Remember, we've talked about this on the show already. Do you give him an extension now? do you have to have that talk. And Michael Thomas, I'll play what Mickey Loomis had to say about that as well earlier in the week back on Monday. It's the Sports Hangover. We're live at Vinny's, normally on a Thursday, here on a Wednesday, because we'll be at the Zurich Classic of New Orleans tomorrow. So come on by, have a little lunch. 3217 Ridgely Drive in Metairie. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans.